How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now reside here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, the white Tupac of screenwriting, the king of the bean, aka Boston. The man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is entertain the shit out of all of you fine people. Welcome to the T-Podcast for Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. All right, I'm doing back-to-back podcast. I'm hoping my Tuesday one goes up at nighttime on the 8th. Got to get that through. But I promised you all in the previous podcast that I was doing two this week. And one, the one that's going up right now, is going to be my review of The Joker. Let me just put this out here. If you have not heard this T-Podcast before, where the fuck have you been? And if you have, thank you for coming for the first time. And if you're a repeat listener, I appreciate all of you fucking people. If you have not heard my podcast before, if you have not heard the way I review movies, you got to know something up front. My screenwriting, my love for movies, I have an in-depth look at movies. I can break apart movies better than fucking almost anyone. I have a way of telling the stories. I can get into the plot points, the details, but I do this all in 15 minutes. I also give spoilers, because I got to talk about the whole movie. I'm not here to give you a positive review to sell the movie to you. I'm not here to give you a negative review to tell you not to see it. I'm pitching the whole fucking story to you with my take on it and whether or not I liked it. That's what you're getting in 15 minutes. Now, I already rambled on for almost 2 minutes, so now I'm down to 13 minutes. This is T Reviews Joker in 15 minutes. This right here is a movie now. Let's give you some quick little background. Todd Phillips directed the movie. He wrote it with the guy from The Fighter. Todd Phillips is known for directing Old School, The Hangover Trilogy. He's done comedies. The guy's gone on record saying that in this day and era of the Me Too movement, inclusive, everybody being sensitive, he can't do comedies anymore. So somehow he convinced Warner Brothers to go to the dramatic road, and he got himself a comic book character called The Joker. DC has fucked up all the comic book characters. They fucked up the Justice League. People think Aquaman was great. I thought it was pretty decent. People love Wonder Woman. Okay. They fucked up the Man of Steel. They fucked up Batman. Now they're going back and Matt Reeves, they booted out Affleck, cast the kid from fucking Twilight, Robert Pattinson, and he's doing 3 Batman movies. That timeline's coming in the future. Right now, there's the current timeline with Harley Quinn leaving Suicide Squad to do her own movie, Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. Then she's going to do a Suicide Squad 2, and then she's going to have her own Harley Quinn spinoff. Odds are we're never going to see the Jared Leto Joker again, so this current timeline, Joker will not exist. There will be a future one in the Matt Reeves timeline. This Joker is 1981. Todd Phillips, Joaquin Phoenix, and the writers, they basically wanted to do a character study. A lot of people thinking about this movie, they're comparing it. And again, I hate when people compare the Jokers. Like, Tim Burton and Jack Nicholson had a vision, and that Joker worked for the era in 1989. Christopher Nolan and Heath Ledger had a vision for their Joker, and that worked in that trilogy where Nolan did not treat Batman like a comic book character, a comic book movie, and we saw one hell of a fucking performance from Heath Ledger, and he should have won the Oscar. Whether or not he passed away, he deserved that Oscar. And then we had Jared Leto's recently, which was shit, and I love David Ayer, but I don't know what they were thinking, making him look that way, act that way. It was just a stupid version of fucking Joker. He was not serious. He was not threatening at all. He was just a creep. It feels like they kind of just threw him in to be a part of Suicide Squad, and they had big plans for him, and they fucked that up. And then, of course, there was, like, the Jerome and his twin brother on Gotham, the TV show, which was an origin show of early days of Gotham, mostly on Jim Gordon, but a young Bruce Wayne, where that kid from, I forget his name, but he was in, that fucking Shameless, and he, the ginger kid, and he did a pretty good job of, like, a Joker, or I'll call him the Joker. This Joaquin Phoenix, again, is not part of the timeline. It's not tying into anything going on in DC right now. It's 1981, a standalone movie, 1981 Gotham. So you already know going in, and hopefully you knew that it was going to be barely any Batman in there, because if anything, it's a young Bruce Wayne. So the Waynes themselves, they're philanthropists, they're rich, they always tried in the comic book to help out Gotham. They're portrayed in this movie as people, mostly, well, Thomas Wayne, Bruce's dad, as a douchebag. He's all for the rich. That, I want to get that out there, even though it's later on in the story, because that sets the level sets the Gotham that you're living in, where mostly everybody's kind of poor, and the poor are on one level, the rich is on another. No different than how society is, you know, most of the time, especially in the 80s. You know, right now it's more of a middle ground, the working class, the middle class is how that works. And we see Arthur Fleck, this is the Joker, and again, in the comics, you never got a true origin. Joker would always tell a different fucking story of who he was, where he came from. You never knew his real name. Depends on the writer and the artist of how they want to depict the Joker. But he always knew a couple of things. He was homicidal. He didn't give a fuck about anything. He wasn't trying to rule the world. He wasn't trying to make money. He was trying to destroy the world. He wanted chaos. He loved causing chaos. He could easily manipulate people. He had minions that would do his deeds for him. He manipulated Harlequin. And he always went up against Batman. He was fascinated with Batman because he was the opposite of him, but yet they both were on the same side of the darkness. So in this show, with this movie, as Arthur is just, you know, living his life as a clown, he has to go to gigs, he has to make little kids laugh, goes to like fucking birthdays, he holds signs up. He also, as a person, he's very fucked up. This character study goes back where people compare this to Travis Bickle in like Taxi Driver, where he's dark, he's depressed. He has a condition, so we think up front that he laughs uncontrollably. He can't control it. He walks around with a laminated card, gives it to people saying, "Don't mind my condition, I just laugh and I can't control it," because he does that a few times in the movie. Ironically, as sad and depressed he is, he goes home to his little sad apartment where his mother lives in the apartment with him, and his mother clearly has some damage, some psychological issues as well, the way her relationship was with him, and the two of them watch Murray, the late-night local Gotham show played by Robert De Niro, and he laughs watching that, and he has visions of becoming a stand-up comic. So he's a stand-up comedian. He's trying to go on stage, and basically he writes these little jokes in these joke books, all these fucked up things, and he's depressed. What you are getting at, what we're getting at here is where the publicity of, you know, clowns been in the news the last few years. Obviously, you have that shooting in Aurora where The Dark Knight came out that time as part of Christopher Nolan's trilogy, where the kid dresses the Joker and he shot up people and he killed 12 people, wounded like 70 more. People were worried that people were going to go copy this movie, see this movie. Now, I don't know people going into the theater thinking violence. Maybe it was more about after they saw it, they would try to copy something he did. If they go see him again, I'm assuming that if they go see it once and they see the scenes where he basically just fucking shoots someone or kills someone, he stabs somebody to death with a fucking scissors, maybe they'll copy that after they've already seen it once in the theater. I don't know. There was a strong police presence in our theater. They're saying they're doing bag checks. You couldn't go in costume and makeup. Going into Halloween, going into this fascination about clowns, I think this is something that Warner Brothers inadvertently or kind of wanted this publicity for the Joker. They said no press on the LA premiere. And I think they were really, like, I think they were enjoying this because people were talking it up and it was going to get people to go see it. Again, it was an R-rated movie. It's still technically, people think it's a comic book movie. It's tough for R-rated comic book movies. Now, look at Logan. Look at Deadpool. Only exceptions to open up and make it big. This opened up at almost $94 million opening weekend just domestically. You see this performance by Joaquin Phoenix. It is a true character study. He lost 52 pounds. He looks sick. He's gaunt. He walks around. His hair's long. They put the creases in his eye. He just looks fucked up. And he's got emotional issues, where he can't have any connection with anyone. He has that condition where he just laughs uncontrollably. And he's there and he's poor and he has nothing. And his mother is keep on writing letters to Thomas Wayne. The mother insists that Thomas Wayne is this great man and should take care of them. And he has no idea why, Arthur. In the meantime, he meets his next door neighbor, a beautiful girl, and he has some sort of fucked up relationship with her. She shows up here and there, and I'll get back to that in a minute. And then we basically have Arthur, who gets a gun from a guy he works with, and he's carrying the gun around, and he's getting bullied, and he's getting beat up, and then he got beat up by these kids out on the street, and then it turns into another scene where there's three businessmen who work for Wayne Enterprises that beat the shit out of him on Statsu on the train, and he shoots him and he kills them. And then from there, he goes to the house, and he goes and makes out with that girl next door, and then it's kind of like, is this really happening? Is this a fantasy? Is this real? Is this all in his head? This goes back again to the Joker, where you never knew his true upbringing. If you go back to even Heath Ledger's Joker, every time somebody asked him, he's like, "Do you want to know where I got these scars?" He told everybody a different story every time in that movie. That is the appeal of the Joker. He's a sick, fucked up maniac, but he's so damaged that you want to know why he is the way he is. I'm telling people that what Joaquin performs is the evolution into the Joker. And then if you want to go into Heath Ledger's Joker, where it starts off in The Dark Knight, where he's robbing the bank at the beginning of the movie, that's where the action comes from. This is not an action movie. This is not a comic book movie. This is a guy that's showing you what deprivation of life, no relationships, not being healthy. And it turns out when he goes to Arkham to get his mother's record, his mother stayed with abusive people. And his mother allowed him to be abused, chained to a radiator. So he got that condition because of how he's abused from his mother and the fucking guy she was dating that she allowed to let that happen to. And Thomas Wayne was, according to her, in the letter she wrote, his father. So he goes to confront Thomas Wayne. We have a great scene. He's walking up to the mansion. His little kid playing out there. Yep, lo and behold, it's young Bruce Wayne. They have some interaction, so they try to pivot down this line where is Arthur, the Joker, Bruce Wayne, Batman's older brother. And then he confronts Alfred. Alfred's like, get the fuck away from the house, basically. Then later on, he goes into like a premiere, like a premiere, a fundraiser, and he confronts Thomas Wayne in the fucking in the bathroom, and he's like, your mother's fucking a psychopath, he's crazy, you're not my son, blah blah blah. And we don't know for sure, is it a delusional from the mother, was he really, did they have an affair, is he his father, we don't know. But from all the shit the mother made up, that drives Arthur over the edge. The fact that he's already killing people and getting away with it, he's coming to peace that he could kill. He's finding peace and solace in killing people. And then he goes to the point where he thinks his mother, who was pretty, what she did, let happen to him, fucked him up even more, allowed him to think he had this condition. He's in the hospital with her because she had a condition at the house, she had to rush to the hospital. He kills his mother. He suffocates her. So he's already killed the three people, the three guys on the train. And people in Gotham are seeing this. They're seeing this clown guy. And the poor people are starting to get up in arms. They're starting to rally. They're starting to protest. The rich. They're going after Thomas Wayne and his people. So basically, now he's seeing all this. And then Murray, Robert De Niro's character, goes ahead and puts his stand-up act on the television from his act where he bombed terribly because he's not funny. And he's like, I want to have you on the show. He gets called on the show. He goes back to his house. He's putting the makeup on. He's almost full-blown Joker at this point. We have this weird realization that the girl, the relationship that he had was all in his head. The girl, he shows up in her house, and he's covered in from the rain, and fucking she's, we don't know if he ends up killing her. We don't see her again. But she's like acting as if, like, you're Arthur, right? The guy from next door. In the meantime, the whole movie, it showed us his point of view. We thought they were in a relationship. I knew there's something off about that fucking thing. So he fantasized and made up the whole fucking relationship in his head. So when he goes back to his house and the guys from work come over, he's painting his face, he's getting ready to go on the talk show, he kills the guy that gave him the gun, that tried to blame him for fucking causing fucking problems, and he got him in trouble, got him fighting, he kills him with the fucking scissors. It's a brutal fucking scene. He lets the other little guy go, and then he goes to Robert De Niro's show. The cops come to the house, they're chasing him, he runs on the train, he's heading to the show, all these people protesting, they're wearing masks, they get away, the cops actually get knocked over by all the people protesting. He ends up on the show, goes backstage, and De Niro's like, you know, we're going to bring you on the show. And he goes, hey, do me a favor. Murray, that's what he calls him. He's like, well, introduce me. Introduce me at the way you called me the other night on your show. You called me a Joker. Introduce me as Joker. His name is Bourne. He gets introduced, goes on the show, full Joker gear. He dyed his hair fucking green. He got the makeup on. He got the suit on. And he's on there, and he's full-blown basically saying he caused that. He admits to killing the people on the train, and De Niro's letting it run. They keep the fucking cameras rolling because he wants to get this confession on there. And he's like, you know, I don't like people like you. He goes, I don't care about anything, Murray. He's like, but people like you make me sick, people like Thomas Wayne. And then he just fucking pulls out the revolver he had, and he kills Murray, Robert De Niro, who, ironically, they compared to Taxi Driver, who he played, Travis Bickle, kills him right there on the fucking air. People run out of the studio and shit. And then all we see him next is in the back of a cop car, kind of like Heath Ledger's character that time. And then all of a sudden there's a big ram of another fucking car, and it's his followers in Joker masks that are now following a guy like this, thinking that, you know, he's there for the poor, for the people. They pull him out of the cruiser. He's covered in blood. He smears the blood on his face, does the famous Joker smile. As we're seeing all this and all these people cheering for him, he's dancing on the car, all banged up. We see another guy in basically all these riots that are happening in a Joker costume. We see the Waynes leaving the famous theater with Bruce, and a guy in a Joker mask, but not the Joker, kills Thomas Wayne and rips off the pearls, the famous scene. So he inadvertently, by creating this falling, by creating himself, by becoming the Joker, they tied it in pretty smartly, not making him be the person like Jack Nicholson's Joker who killed his parents, Batman's parents, but he inspired the person that did it. He inadvertently created Batman. So we got Joker's origin and Batman's origin all in one fucking movie. And then it comes to an end scene where he got all the makeup off. He's in Arkham Asylum. We got to assume it's Arkham Asylum, talking to another therapist. And then he's like, you just don't get it. And we don't know if it was all in his head. Was it a fantasy? Was it his way of telling the story? Did it happen? Did it really happen? Is he the Joker? And then he leaves that room. He gets out of that room, and you see bloody footprints, and the orderlies trying to chase him up and down Arkham Asylum. And then it ends, fades to black. No end credit scene. This movie should get him a Best Actor nomination, and he should win the Oscar. If he doesn't, I don't care what comes up between now and February. It's a fucking travesty. Todd Phillips should get nominated for Best Director. This movie should get nominated for Best Picture. This movie should get nominated for Best Screenplay. It should hopefully win most of those. Let's see what else comes out. But definitely for Joaquin Phoenix, that was the performance of a lifetime. It made a lot of money. It's going to make more money. Usually when you have something that's like an artsy film, a character study, especially somebody like Joaquin who sees himself more of an artist than an actor, usually don't make sequels to that when they start winning Oscars. I think there'll be pressure to have a sequel to this. I don't know how they do it. I think hopefully you keep Batman out of it because he's still like, you know, there's about 20 years, 25 years age difference between the two of them and this version of it. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this. I think it was one of the best movies I've seen in years. I fucking loved it. I would see it again. I'm going to buy it on 4K when it comes out. And it's going to win a lot of fucking Oscars. He definitely should win Best Actor. Go see The Joker. Wait for this fucking publicity and this violent shit to die down. See it in theaters. Get the experience. It's great to watch it at home in 4K eventually, but go see The Joker. That is that is cinema. Now, I know there's controversy right now, and I'm going a little past 15 minutes, where Scorsese said that Marvel movies and comic book movies aren't cinema, and people are arguing. Look, I love Scorsese movies. I also love comic book movies. I think Logan got fucked 2 years ago. Logan was an R-rated movie. It was a great story of Wolverine being old and dying. That should have been nominated for Best Picture, and they should have got some nominations. Joker should. It's time for comic book movies to get that recognition. Joker blends the lines between drama, a character study, and a comic book movie. That is true cinema. A movie like that is why I still love movies and want to write scripts and get back to writing scripts. Even though it's source material based off a character, it was their take on a Joker origin, and it's a villain. You don't get that often, people. And I've always loved, and I said it on the podcast, Batman. I always loved Batman and his rogue gallery of villains, his story. I always loved the X-Men and Wolverine. There was something I always wanted to write those stories. The Joker, to me, is something that I would have tried writing. I'm not saying I would have nailed it the way they did, but that is a story that I would have loved to tell. And that, to me, covered everything. And I'm a little biased, like I said, but I highly fucking recommend The Joker. Hans Zimmer's coming in. That's the show, everyone. Find me on Instagram, 2 accounts, the_T_podcast for the podcast-related stuff, T-blog, all one word, for some amazing picks, T-blog, all one word, on Twitter, the T-blog Facebook page. Email me about movies, anything you want to talk about, t@t-blog.com, BLAWG. And of course, find me on the T Podcast here at least twice a week. Gonna get back to 3 real soon when Bilo and I get back on a routine soon enough. And of course, find me the place to start it all, tblog.com. That's the show, everyone. That was The Joker in 15 minutes. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're gonna go see it. Until next time, always take it there.